from ABC News. World News This Year. I'm Chuck Sievertson in New York.
The war of Russia is not only the war against Ukraine.
Millions living in below freezing temperatures.
It looked like a war zone out there. I'm not going to lie. It did. I've never seen that in my life here in Uvalde.
Inflation surged at the fastest pace in four decades.
Giant red wave. Folks, that didn't happen.
In nine public hearings, the January 6th committee put former President Trump at the center of a conspiracy.
If the Queen can do 70 years of service to this country, I can stand in a queue for 8 hours.
The majority of the state of Florida is in Ian's crosshairs.
This has been kind of a holy grail of energy.
The people and events that made headlines when World News This Year continues. 2022, a year of war. On February 24th, Russian rockets and troops crossing the border into Ukraine. Russian President Vladimir Putin saying he was forced to invade by threats from Ukraine. But Volodymyr Zelensky, an actor who once played the role of Ukrainian president before winning the election for real, saying
the war of Russia is not only the war against Ukraine. Its meaning is much wider. Russia started the war against freedom as it is.
Appealing to the world for help via videos from within his country, and then, 10 months after the war began, taking his plea in person to Washington, D.C., addressing Congress.
This struggle will define in what world our children and grandchildren will live, and then their children and grandchildren. It will define whether it will be a democracy of Ukrainians and for Americans for all.
Ukrainian children making up many of the millions of refugees who raced away from the fighting. ABC's David Muir in Poland.
17-year-old Alexander and 17-year-old Maxim, with two of the children on his lap. They already survived their own heartbreak. Now they care for the younger children. Alexander tells us just being here in Poland has brought him some peace.
No, not in danger. In Poland.
Nastia and Augusta, both eight. Nastia telling us about the bombs that used to fall where she lived. Augusta telling us about the harrowing journey, being told to close the windows and turn off their lights on the train because they saw explosions so close to them. I was scared, she told us. I didn't know if I would survive.
The U.S. and the world sending tens of billions of dollars in military aid to Ukraine. ABC News Chief Foreign Correspondent Ian Pannell speaking just a few weeks ago with Ukrainian General Oleksandr Syrsky, commander of his country's ground forces.
Are you winning this war?
Of course we are winning, and it's important that we are winning mentally. We know what we are fighting for, but still, this war is very hard.
How worried are you, how worried should all of us be about Putin's nuclear threats?
Basically, you've answered your question in your first phrase. Yes, we are worried, and as we should be.
Another worry? Winter. As the war has dragged on towards the end of the year, Russia has turned its rockets against Ukraine's infrastructure, turning cold into a weapon. ABC's Tom Sufi Burridge, recently in the capital of Kyiv.
Ukraine now working around the clock to repair the damage after a fresh wave of missile strikes hit Ukrainian power stations. Millions living in below freezing temperatures, a day-to-day struggle to get through winter.
Wood-burning stoves inside the departure hall at Kyiv's main train station. The main lights are off here. They're saving electricity. And there are warm blankets from USAID.
The war claiming tens of thousands of lives on both sides. Across America, nearly 20,000 deaths this year linked to guns, and mass shootings coming almost as often as every sunrise and sunset. Our country averaging nearly two mass shootings every single day.
Why? Why come over here messing with us? Why?
Annette Parker in Buffalo, a day after a white supremacist opened fire in a supermarket targeting African Americans. 10 people were killed. And at a 4th of July parade in Highland Park, Illinois, this woman watching 7 people die.
It was at least 50 rounds shot within less than a minute. It was... No way.
And in the year when we marked a decade since the massacre at Sandy Hook Elementary, again, schools were in the crosshairs of madness. By one count, at least 50 shootings at schools this year. By far the worst, the attack on Robb Elementary School in Uvalde, Texas.
It looked like a war zone up there. I'm not going to lie. It did. I've never seen that in my life here in Uvalde. especially at school.
Jerry Mata's 10-year-old daughter Tess, one of the 19 children and two teachers killed in a rampage by an 18-year-old shooter. In the midst of the attack, law enforcement swarmed the area, but waited more than an hour to go into the classroom where Salvador Ramos shot the children. Parents outside, frustrated and furious.
Let us do this, man! Let us do this, man! Come on!
Investigations into the police response showing failures at all levels. ABC's John Quinones.
A blistering report stating a command post was never set up, leading to a breakdown in communication between officers on every level.
And lawmakers in Washington responding.
For the first time in 30 years, Congress passes a major gun control reform package. President Biden signing the Safer Communities Act.
Their message to us was do something. I don't know how many times we heard that. Just do something. For God's sake, just do something. Well, today, we did.
The measure boosts background checks and provides funding for mental health care, but does not ban assault weapons. I'm ABC Chief Justice Correspondent Pierre Thomas.
Across the country this year, prices have been through the roof.
As inflation surged at the fastest pace in four decades, Americans felt the pinch from the grocery aisle to the gas pump. In June, the national average for a gallon of gas surpassed $5 for the first time before tumbling back down.
We can't afford to keep coming to work and not be able to afford the gas.
Inflation was fueled by disruptions to supply chains and the oil market after Russia invaded Ukraine, combined with pent-up demand from consumers who'd saved during the pandemic. Eager to slow down spending, Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell oversaw the most aggressive interest rate hike campaign in decades.
We will stay the course until the job is done.
Mortgage rates spiked. Fears of a recession dominated Wall Street. But on Main Street, consumers continued to spend, and employers kept hiring as the unemployment rate hovers near a 50-year low. Elizabeth Schulze, ABC News, Washington.
Record inflation had a lot of pundits predicting a so-called red wave in the midterm elections.
And all those polls, God love them, you know. Historic losses were on the way, a giant red wave. Folks, that didn't happen.
President Biden, after Democrats actually picked up a seat in the Senate. Republicans will have the majority in the House, but not by the margin some had expected. After the elections, the only woman to serve as Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, announced she would no longer serve as leader of the House Democrats.
For me, the hour has come for a new generation to lead the Democratic caucus that I so deeply respect. And I'm grateful that so many are ready and willing to shoulder this awesome responsibility.
That next leader, New York Congressman Hakeem Jeffries, will become the first African-American lawmaker to lead either party on Capitol Hill.
There's still a lot of work to be done to make sure that what we saw with the big lie and what we saw with the violent insurrection and what we saw with the effort to halt the peaceful transfer of power never happens again.
Former President Trump looking for a return to the Oval Office.
In order to make America great and glorious again, I am tonight announcing my candidacy for President of the United States.
He made that announcement at his Mar-a-Lago estate in Florida, where the FBI found dozens of classified documents, that leading to a Justice Department investigation. And all year long, the former president's name coming up again and again in the hearings of the Congressional Committee looking into January 6th. Here's ABC's Aaron Katursky.
Dissecting a riot.
I first noticed there was ketchup dripping down the wall.
In nine public hearings, the January 6th committee put former President Trump at the center of a conspiracy to steal the 2020 election and foment a violent riot at the Capitol.
The president reached up towards the front of the vehicle to grab at the steering wheel.
Memorable details came from Cassidy Hutchinson, an aide to Trump's chief of staff, and from Stephen Ayers, who was part of the mob and said he was duped by Trump's rhetoric.
I was hanging on every word he was saying. Everything he was putting out, I was following it.
Trump was saying he won when former aide Alyssa Farris said he knew he lost.
And he was looking at the TV and he said, "Can you believe I lost to this effing guy?"
The chairman be and is hereby directed to subpoena Donald J. Trump.
In its final hearing, the committee voted to subpoena connection. Trump.
We must seek the testimony under oath of January 6th central player.
Liz Cheney lost her seat over her role as one of the committee's two Republicans.
In the end, Mr. Trump never did testify. The committee finishing its work in the last couple of weeks of December and making criminal referrals to the Justice Department, including naming Mr. Trump in four of them. It was a party atmosphere on the South Lawn of the White House when President Biden signed the Respect for Marriage Act in mid-December. ABC's Terry Moran.
It requires the federal government and the states to recognize and to legally honor all marriages performed in the United States under state law, regardless of sex or race or national origin or ethnicity.
That law, put in place amid worries the Supreme Court could overturn the ruling guaranteeing same-sex marriage nationwide after its decision on abortion this year.
The Supreme Court overturning the landmark Roe v. Wade case, suddenly making abortions illegal in parts of the country. Several states immediately enforcing strict abortion bans, so-called trigger laws, others suing to protect women's rights.
They're basically saying that state constitutions protect a right to abortion, even if the U.S. Constitution doesn't.
ABC News legal contributor Kate Shaw, an effort now underway in Congress to codify abortion as a federal right once and for all. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
A new justice taking her place on the high court.
I, Ketanji Brown Jackson, do solemnly swear.
Justice Jackson, nominated by President Biden to replace retiring Justice Stephen Breyer, is the first black woman to serve on the Supreme Court.
I have a seat at the table now, and I'm ready to work.
This year saw a shifting from focusing on COVID to the so-called triple-demic. On COVID, Dr. Ashish Jha, the White House COVID response coordinator, still urging everyone to get vaccinated and boosted.
Our existing vaccines continue to provide robust protection against serious illness, hospitalizations, and deaths.
But coronavirus, among rising cases of respiratory illnesses like the flu and RSV, the triple and triple-demic, putting some serious strains on supplies of some medicines, especially for kids. ABC's Ariel Reshef.
Unprecedented demand for children's pain relievers and fever reducers in some places. Major retailers like CVS and Walgreens now limiting the amount of pediatric ibuprofen and acetaminophen customers can buy to prevent stockpiling.
In the spring and summer, it wasn't baby medicine, but baby formula that was in short supply.
There was nothing left on the entire shelf. I took a picture and sent it home, and I was like, thank goodness we have a couple cans left.
Colorado mom Ashley Lane. The shortages caused by the shutdown of a major formula plant in Michigan and compounded by tight supply chains. Coming up, saying goodbye to a queen and hello to the possibility of a new world of energy when World News This Year continues.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. Talk to one of them, they stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hi, I'm Chris Gethard, and I'm very excited to tell you about Beautiful Anonymous, a podcast where I talk to random people on the phone. I tweet out a phone number, thousands of people try to call. You talk to one of them, they stay anonymous. I can't hang up. That's all the rules. I never know what's going to happen. We get serious ones. I've talked with meth dealers on their way to prison. I've talked to people who survived mass shootings. Crazy funny ones. I talked to a guy with a goose laugh, somebody who dresses up as a pirate on the weekends. I never know what's going to happen. It's a great show. Subscribe today, Beautiful Anonymous.
For a few weeks this year, it was a quick parade of prime ministers in Great Britain. Boris Johnson announcing,
I want you to know how sad I am to be giving up the best job in the world. But them's the breaks.
Stepping down amid several scandals, he was replaced by Liz Truss, who almost immediately ran into economic problems and calls for her to step down. After 44 days in office, she declared,
I am a fighter and not a quitter.
But then the very next day,
I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
And as Prime Minister, eventually replaced by Rishi Sunak. Britain and the world also saying goodbye to Queen Elizabeth, whose reign spanned 16 prime ministers.
She was 96, but still the Queen's death in Scotland came as a shock. Immediately, everyone remembered this, delivered as a young princess.
My whole life,
whether it be long or short, shall be devoted to your service.
Service through an ever-changing world. ABC contributor Victoria Murphy.
She had this incredible diplomatic ability and this incredible ability, I think, to very gently to guide.
Upon her death, 2 weeks of ceremony rolled out with precision, her coffin lying in state with thousands passing by.
If the Queen can do 70 years of service to this country, I can stand in a queue for 8 hours.
The funeral at Westminster Abbey. As to the future,
I shall strive to follow the inspiring example I have been set.
The challenges facing King Charles formidable in modernizing and streamlining the monarchy. Tom Rivers, ABC News.
The world this year also said goodbye to the first woman who ever served as Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
I loved foreign policy, there's no question. Wherever we went, I started an international relations club and made myself president of it.
And the final leader of the Soviet Union, Mikhail Gorbachev. We also lost writer and historian David McCullough, even if he didn't like one of those titles.
I don't think of myself as an historian. I'm not an historian. I'm a writer. And I write about real people and what really happened.
The music world said goodbye to giants. Jerry Lee Lewis.
Goodness gracious, great balls of fire.
Loretta Lynn.
Well, I was born to call miner's daughter.
Rappers Takeoff and Coolio.
As I walk through the valley of the shadow of death.
Angela Lansbury passed away, equally adept at acting or singing.
Taylor's oldest time.
We lost Nichelle Nichols, Uhura from Star Trek, who said Martin Luther King Jr. urged her to stay on the show when she was thinking about quitting.
He said, for the first time on television, we will be seen as we should be seen every day, as intelligent, quality, beautiful people who can sing, dance, and but who can go into space.
The first black man to win an Oscar, Sidney Poitier, passed away. Bob Saget and Anne Heche both died in accidents. The sports world losing several greats. Announcer Vin Scully, basketball star Bill Russell, and the man on the receiving end of what is considered the greatest play in NFL history. Pittsburgh Steelers running back Franco Harris, dying just days before a ceremony to retire his number. Freedom for basketball star Brittany Griner. After 9 months in Russian custody on drug charges, she's now back at home. Her wife, Sherelle.
Today, I'm just standing here overwhelmed with emotions, but the most important emotion that I have right now is just sincere gratitude.
Griner swapped for notorious arms dealer Victor Boot. Over 150 people killed in a Halloween stampede in Seoul, South Korea. Crowds turning into a deadly crush when they all funneled into an alleyway. ABC's Matt Gutman says two of the victims were from the U.S.
Korean police acknowledging they had only 137 officers on duty for that crowd of 100,000. Among the dead, 20-year-old Ann Giesk, a junior from the University of Kentucky, and the niece of Ohio Congressman Brad Wenstrup, and 20-year-old Stephen Blessy, who was on a semester abroad from Georgia's Kennesaw State University.
Tragedy in the middle of the Texas summer heat after police found an abandoned tractor trailer with dozens of bodies inside. 53 migrants died. More from ABC's Jim Ryan.
The first paramedics to arrive at the tractor-trailer rig parked on a road near Lackland Air Force Base knew the situation was dire, as heard in audio posted by Broadcastify.
Looks like quite a few of them are already deceased. We're going to start sorting through the ones that are currently breathing.
The Mexican foreign minister says the victims had come from at least three Latin American countries in what may be the deadliest incident involving suspected human smuggling in Texas history.
But the crush of migrants at the southern border continued throughout much of the year. The governor of Texas sending busloads of migrants to cities like New York, Philadelphia, and Chicago. In late September, the warning to Florida from FEMA head Deanne Criswell.
When it comes to hurricanes, water. Water is dangerous, period. From coastal storm surge to inland flooding, the majority of the state of Florida is in Ian's crosshairs.
Hurricane Ian coming ashore as a Category 4 monster. Joe Conforti rode out the storm on Pine Island.
The water was at least eight to 10 feet high for sure.
Ian, the deadliest storm to hit Florida in 90 years. Over 140 people killed in Florida alone. From crypto boom to crash for cryptocurrency exchange FTX, its collapse wiping out billions of dollars for clients and leading to fraud charges for founder Sam Bankman-Fried, who admitted to ABC's George Stephanopoulos.
I wasn't
spending any time or effort trying to manage risk on FTX, trying, like, and that obviously,
that's
that was
a stunning
mistake.
Admission.
What?
That's a pretty stunning admission.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what to say, like, what happened.
2022 saw Elon Musk make a $44 billion bid to buy Twitter. He then tried to back out before changing his mind and taking over. At the Oscars, it was called the slap heard round the world.
In March of this year, the Oscars were rolling along as usual, nothing out of the ordinary,
until Chris Rock
got on stage and made a joke about Jada Pinkett Smith's close-cropped hair.
Jada, I love you. G.I. Jane 2, can't wait to see it, all right?
The hairstyle, a result of alopecia, a medical condition that causes baldness, which Rock was seemingly unaware of. Pinkett Smith's husband, Best Actor nominee Will Smith, was enraged by the joke and walked up on stage and slapped Chris Rock.
Oh, wow!
Rock was stunned. Wow. The audience was stunned. No one was sure if it was a bit or if it was real, but it was real.
Keep my wife's name out your mouth! I'm going to.
Smith would go on to win Best Actor for his role in King Richard.
I want to apologize to the Academy.
In the aftermath, Smith apologized again, resigned from the Academy, and was barred from attending the Oscars for 10 years. But his latest movie, Emancipation, is getting Oscar buzz. Jason Nathanson, ABC News, Hollywood.
There were highs and lows, mostly off the field, for the U.S. women's soccer team in 2022. In February, it reached a settlement with the U.S. Soccer Federation over an equal pay lawsuit.
I not only see this as a win for our team or women's sports, but women in general.
Star Alex Morgan after the $24 million settlement was announced, but in October, the Yates Report detailed how the Federation ignored years of complaints of sexual and emotional abuse towards players. Brian Clark, ABC News.
A couple of high-flying tests paying off in big ways this year. In one, NASA was literally testing a way to save our planet from a killer asteroid.
And we have impact. A giant leap for humanity in the name of planetary defense.
Mission Control after they successfully rammed a probe into an asteroid 7 million miles away.
For the first time ever, humanity has changed the orbit of a planetary body.
And Dr. Lori Glaze with NASA says the same idea could be used to knock an asteroid off course if it were headed straight for us. A little closer to home, the Artemis mission got off the ground in November after some fits and starts, sending an unmanned vehicle around the moon.
It is the beginning of the new beginning, and that is to explore the heavens.
Eventually, that same vehicle could carry humans back to the moon. NASA Administrator Bill Nelson. And a breakthrough that could literally change the world.
In the world of science, this is a very big deal. Scientists in California found a way to make clean energy the way the sun and the stars do it, through nuclear fusion. The scientists achieving it by aiming almost 200 gigantic lasers at a piece of metal the size of a pencil eraser. Professor Troy Carter at UCLA's Plasma Science Technology Institute says
this has been kind of a holy grail of energy for many years.
And now they've achieved net energy out of the reaction, energy that one day could power the globe with zero carbon output. Alex Stone, ABC News.
And those are the people and events that made World News this year. World News this year was written and produced by Rob Hawley. I'm Chuck Sievertson, ABC News, New York.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we talk brainstorms with UX designer Brian. Let's go. First question. You thought you'd see everyone's idea in the team brainstorm, but you've got a grand total of one. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, right? Because in Miro, the team can add ideas now or later. And with Privacy Mode, we can keep them anonymous until they're good to share.
Correct. Next, you need the best way to explain your idea, but all you have is a few sticky notes. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board, because, you know, in Miro, I could record videos, add text, images, links, and digital sticky notes, of course. Present my thoughts the way I want.
Right again! Now, you're looking for a past idea you thought was just genius. Only you could find... Oh, there it is. Drawing Board or...
Miro. All our finished and unfinished work lives in one place.
And he's won.
Join over 60 million people getting ideas noticed in Miro Brainstorms. Get your first three boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.